We come this morning to another section of Zechariah. We're reading through the minor prophets. This is the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 10. The last three chapters of this prophecy really have to do with Israel's messianic hope. What did God's people long for, expect? What promises did they hold on to? And it also speaks to us of the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. And we see first the nation of Israel, which had suffered greatly from time to time, captivity, attacks from outside the nation, even wickedness within the nation. And what we see is that they are being purified and restored as they repent and turn to God. And then we see the king, or see things from the king's point of view, that king being Christ. The king rejected by his own people, who ultimately comes in triumphant power to reign forever. Now, the prophet, of course, has to speak in Old Testament terms and images as we look forward, as he looks forward in the history to the coming of Christ. He speaks of the building of the temple. He speaks as well of the nations of the world that would flock to Jerusalem to worship the king in the true house of the Lord. Old Testament images, of course. But in the clear light of the New Testament, we see Zechariah's prophecies teach us about the work of the Messiah, that it is going to be accomplished in time and space. That's a phrase we often use, but it just simply means in history and in the material world. But the results of what the Messiah does are going to be the opening of a new world, another world, a spiritual and heavenly order of things. You see, God always does, above and beyond all that we ask, expect, or even imagine. And so Zechariah sees a great revival for the people of Israel when they realize that they have rejected and crucified their Messiah. Certainly, he looks down history's corridors hundreds of years to the coming of Christ and his death on the cross. And a repentant people, he says, will discover that God has sovereignly overruled their rejection of the Messiah. It might seem that Satan has won, that evil has succeeded, but even in the horror of Calvary's cross, God has accomplished his purpose. He's provided an unexpected way for forgiveness and the cleansing of sins. See, by means of the cross, God has opened up that fountain of spiritual blessing to renew his people. And although the true shepherd has been struck down, rejected by his own, his death and resurrection bring salvation to all who will put their trust in him. Old Testament words that point us to Christ and point us yet to the future when our Savior will return. Beginning in verse 10 of chapter 12, I'm going to read through chapter 13. Hear now the word of the Lord. And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning for Hadad-Rimmon in the plain of Megiddo. The land shall mourn, each family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the Shimeites by itself, and their wives by themselves, and all the families that are left, each by itself, and their wives by themselves. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, so that they shall be remembered no more. And also I will remove from the land the prophets and the spirit of uncleanness, and if anyone again prophesies, his father and mother who bore him will say to him, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and mother who bore him shall pierce him through when he prophesies. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision when he prophesies. He will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive, but he will say, I am no prophet, I am a worker of the soil, for a man sold me in my youth. And if one asks him, what are these wounds on your back? He will say, the wounds I received in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me, declares the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones. In the whole land, declares the Lord, 2/3 shall be cut off and perish, and 1/3 shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire, and refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God.